that we are recording. Okay.
Let's pray real quick.
Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we want to give this time to you. And I just pray the Holy Spirit will move on the scriptures that we are studying tonight, Lord, and really wash our minds. Because it's not what people say, it's what the Word says that matters, Lord, and it's what the Spirit says that matters. So we ask you to move tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as I was preparing today for this, it occurred to me that there is no way we are getting through this whole chart. There's like 100 Bible verses on this thing. So we will probably go through half of it today, and we'll probably have to do a second half, and we can talk about that scheduling time after we're done with the session. Otherwise, we'd be here like 3 hours or something, so we're not going to do that. So just to recap quickly, we did one chart, and we had the cross in the middle of the page, and it was the cross in relation to the sinner, and we saw how Jesus died for us. And we saw what a sinner was and what his problems were on the one side of the cross. We saw the sacrificial. And those were a bunch of verses. And there were a bunch of verses on the inside of the cross about how Jesus died for us. And then on the other side, we saw like a corresponding thing from what was on the sinner side, like what happened and how we got saved and how that affected us, like with reference to the devil, our sins, blah, blah, blah. Second chart, very similar, but the cross with relationship to the believer. And that is understanding the cross with reference to identifying with that death. And so on the one side of the cross, we had a bunch of verses about the life of a Christian who is definitely saved. No doubt about it. They could even be a good Christian, a committed Christian, a Bible-loving, believing Christian, an active Christian, but they are still struggling with things in their life, and things are hard on them, and they may have problems with the enemy or the flesh, or they may have problems with the carnal mind or whatever. And we saw how the only answer for the struggling Christian is the cross, but not in Jesus' sacrifice, but in how we accept it as our own death. And we saw the corresponding verses on the other side of if the devil was a problem over here, how we had overcome him based on our death with Christ on the other side. And if we had a problem with walking in the flesh, how walking in the Spirit is the natural, spontaneous outworking of the identification. So what we're going to do now, what this chart is going to be, is all on that side of the cross now. We've been looking at both sides of the cross. Now we're looking at just the resurrection side of the cross and what that means to the believer. And there are going to be 8 categories corresponding to one of each of these 8 like little bands or rays that are coming out from the cross. And that display different verses that describe various aspects of our life in the heavenlies and what it means to be living in the heavenlies. And each little ray is going to have its own theme and then a bunch of scriptures that will go right down the line to a final outworking at the end. So you're going to have to write super small because there's like 12 verses that have to go in each of these things. So, well, phrases from verses. But so that's what we're going to do tonight. So what we're going to start with is just the very top next to the title, the life side of the cross. We're going to read Colossians 3:11 and then put that there. Let's all just go to Colossians 3:11. Oh, and Jennifer, what we're doing is we're going around the circle and looking up verses. So did you bring a Bible with you, or you've got one on your thing?
I have to use my phone Bible.
Well, as long as it's a phone Bible, not an Antichrist Bible or something like that, we'll probably be okay. So. Okay. So Colossians 3:11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So on the life side of the cross, we're going to put Christ is all and in all, just at the top left corner somewhere. Because that's what we're going to see. We're going to see it in many, many ways. He is all and in all. And what we're going to see is that no matter what topic we pick in the resurrection, it's all going to end up with Christ somehow being revealed, being the fullness every single time.
So this is the key scripture, though.
Yeah, this is kind of like the overarching key scripture for everything. let's see here. And then, Lindsay, why don't you look up Ephesians 1:3? Excuse me. And somebody look up Galatians 2:20. Okay, and Joan, will you look up 2 Corinthians 5:14? And I will look up Galatians 6:14.
Are these verses that are going to go on the first band?
The first one is just going to go up there too, near the Christ is all and in all one. The next three are actually the verses that are already written down inside the cross, and the references are underneath the cross. So we're just going to recap the cross before we move on.
Peggy's here!
She made it! You can go lock the door if you want.
We don't care about anyone else.
Go lock. Well, I don't know if anyone else is coming.
I told him he was coming.
I was hoping he'd come.
Yeah,
I was hoping to. Do you need a cushion?
Oh, no. Okay, thank you.
Well, we just started, and we just wrote Colossians 3:11 in our top left of our paper here. Do you need a pen, or do you have one?
I think I have one.
Okay.
So can I have this one?
That's yours.
That's yours.
And one of the reasons for this exercise, this is actually a chart, a series of charts I found in the pamphlet, and we're just reconstructing the chart. This is not original information with me, but because it's all Bible verses, there's not a lot of original information from the author either. It's pure scripture, and there's something about the scripture that the Holy Spirit just moves on. And so we're getting the scriptures in us, and the Holy Spirit really did speak, I think, last night.
Yes.
I think he really spoke last night. So
very, very,
it was really good.
It was very good.
Okay, so we need to read Ephesians 1:3. Go ahead.
1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Okay. Ephesians 1:3 is kind of going to go with the top. Well, it's everything, but it's really the top half of the chart especially. So we're going to put it up above somewhere. Somewhere up above is going to be Ephesians 1:3. And you can write it all out or just the important phrase in that or something. And then let's look at, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the resurrection. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ in the resurrection. Okay? But that comes from the death. And we have to really lay hold of our death with Christ before these things become very real in us. So, just to recap these three verses, who has 2 Corinthians 5:14?
I do.
Okay, go ahead and read that.
It is, for the love of Christ. Excuse me. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Okay. Well, I should have had Galatians 2:20 read first. That's okay.
Oh.
No, it's not your fault. Go ahead and read Galatians 2:20.
For I have been crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live... In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay, thank you. And then Galatians 6:14, which I said I had. That says, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So those three verses are kind of represented inside the cross. In the middle crossbar, we have the basic all around, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay. On the top part of the cross, we have from 2 Corinthians 5:14, one died for all, therefore all died. On the bottom part of the cross, we have the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And this kind of is part of the organizational structure of this chart. These top four bands that go horizontal and a little upward are all going to be related to our spiritual interior life and our life with the Lord, okay, between us and the Lord. So it's one died for all, therefore all died. And because the following verse in 2 Corinthians 5:15 says that we might live unto God. One of the reasons for our being dead with Christ is that we could live unto Him. The scripture on the bottom says, the world hath been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So the bottom half of this chart, which we're not going to get to tonight, we'll have to do it another night, is going to relate to how the life side of the cross affects our relationships manward in the earth with others. Okay, so we're going to have a heavenly relationship with God, and we're going to have an earthly relationship with man. And each section is going to have four main areas that we're going to look at. Each area is represented by one of these little rays that looks like this. See, this will be a ray. That will be one. Each of these will be a topic that we're going to look at and put Bible verses in there. That's what we're going to do. So, the cross, the way that this has been ordered and structured, the verses that are put in the cross kind of are directing an overall. If we were doing this in an outline form, you know, Christ is all and in all would be like A, or no, it would be like the title. And then like Roman numeral 1 would be 1, and you know, Roman numeral 2 is, that's kind of how it's being divided out. let's see. Okay, so we're going to start with the top four rays, our inward spiritual life, but not with the very, very top one. We're going to start with the one that has that little curvy line that curves upward that's next to the horizontal bar of the cross. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start right there. Yeah, and we're going to put a subheading right there at the beginning of that next to the cross. We're going to start with the indwelling spirit. Because when you get born again, you get the Spirit of God inside of you. Make sure you write really small, because you're going to have to put 12 scripture verses in here. So, the way that I would say do it, instead of writing things like in long lines, like write indwelling spirit. And then you'll have... Because otherwise it's going to get really hard to fit everything in. And I would use bigger paper, but you know, then we'd be going into 11 by 17s, and that's...
Exciting.
Yeah, so we did 8.5 by 14. Okay. This is what we're going to start with. Now let's go ahead and pass out verses. Excuse me. Someone take Galatians 3, 13 and 14.
I'll do it.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, 16.
I'll take it.
Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Okay. 13 and 14. Patty, could you take John 14, 26? You only have Spanish? Okay, that's fine. I'll take John 14, 26. That's okay. No problem.
I have NIV. Yours is probably better.
Probably personal preference, but is this intended for us to write out the whole verse or just to put the...
No. on the chart, the essential part of the verse is placed. But I think that there's not even going to be enough room for that. So I'll... give you like a keyword if you want. So if you want to just put like a phrase, you can do it how you want to. You put the phrase, but you're not going to have enough room for the reference if you do that. So if you want just a keyword and the reference, do it how you want to do it. But that's the thing about how it'll be useful for you. If you want to use it in the future, you're going to want to know. If you just put a verse, you're not going to remember what the verse says. So you want something down there.
Yeah, right.
You know, so. Okay. Galatians 3, 13 and 14.
Right, that was me.
Okay.
3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Okay, so we received the Spirit through faith. The very first thing about the indwelling Spirit is that we received Him through faith. Okay, when we trusted in the Lord Jesus, whether we understood it or not, what happened? The Spirit came inside of us. Okay? We were born again. So, you could write something like, redeemed and received the Spirit through faith, or just received through faith, or something really, you know, depending on the size of your handwriting, I suppose. Because nothing happens until you have the Spirit inside, right? That's got to be the very first thing. Okay. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Well, 3:16, I thought it was...
That's okay.
I thought it was 16.
Mm-hmm. The first scripture was Galatians 3:13?
Yeah, 3:13 and 14.
16 didn't make sense. Okay. 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
He dwells in you. The Spirit dwells in you. That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, Joan. No, I spoke over you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, and 1 Corinthians 3:16. That's okay.
I do that all the time, and I don't have pregnancy brain as an excuse.
Yeah, you totally are off the hook, Jennifer. Okay, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Okay.
In whom you also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased.
So he seals us, and he's the earnest of our inheritance.
Ephesians 1. I already forgot.
Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Okay, the next one is John 14:26. And it says, "But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." So he begins to teach us once he's in there. He's our teacher. He teaches all things.
John
14:26. It's a very important relationship to have with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to learn anything in the Lord. So he's inside of us. He's dwelling in there. He seals us and he begins to teach. Okay, next round of scriptures. John 15:26. Okay. Romans 8:26.
Turn right to it.
Ephesians 3:16 and 17. Okay. And I'll take 1 Corinthians 6:17.
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
I am ready.
John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me."
He bears witness of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what the Spirit does. Meaning inside our hearts, because he's in there. Right? And so when the Spirit's teaching us, he appoints us to Jesus. And when we begin to see Jesus, that happy feeling inside is the Holy Spirit jumping up and down. He's bearing witness. Like, yes!
Yeah,
but that is right!
Yeah, that's true.
That's what that is. Okay. Romans 8:26 is next.
"In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express."
So he helps our weakness and makes intercession. That's good news. Because we might be in resurrection, but the fact of the matter is, we need help. So he helps our weakness, our frailties, because, you know, flesh has a real hard time being consistent in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he prays, he intercedes on our behalf. Ephesians 3:16 and 17.
"That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love."
Good. Thank you. It kind of drops off right there. So not only does he help our weakness and makes intercession for us, he actually strengthens us in the inner man so that Christ can live there. Mm-hmm. That it actually needs a strengthening process actually needs to happen. Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice to know, huh? That it's not just up to you. So he strengthens that Christ may dwell within. I have 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And this is what we begin to come to in our strengthening. We're already joined to the Lord, but he brings that to reality, to fruition in us. So he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You can put one spirit or joins to the Lord or something like that. So there's kind of a progression. You see the kind of the progression in these verses, just like, "Oh, I just received the Spirit through faith," you know, and how it's kind of moving along a progression here.
I'm already getting it.
Okay. Okie doke. Let's see. How many more do we have in this one? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 4 more. Good. Okay, Romans 7:4. I'll take that one. Someone take Colossians 3:1 and 2.
I'll take it.
Okay. Ephesians 4:30. Okay. And then the last one, Ephesians 4:22, is actually going to go on the outside of the ray in that blank margin.
At
the very end. Okay. I have to go first, and I'm doing one. Oh, and by the way, comments are legal. If you have something you want to share, anybody. Okay, Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And I feel like verse 6 would also help with reference to this. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead in which we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. So the Spirit makes this marriage real. The Spirit makes it real so that we bring forth fruit unto God. Let's see, where's my verse? So again, he's joining us to the raised Christ in our understanding. Okay?
That was from Romans what?
7:4. And I also wrote verse 6 as well to kind of give a further... I felt like 4 wasn't quite enough, so I kind of read 6 in there too. But he joins us to the Lord in the sense of bringing forth fruit, or in something experiential about being one.
Colossians 3:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Okay. So the Spirit helps us to set our minds above. He directs our minds.
That was Colossians something?
3:1-2.
Colossians 3:1-2. Okay, and the next one, whenever you're ready, is Ephesians 4:30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
So at this point, as we have been developed with our relationship with the Holy Spirit within, we are learning to grieve not the Spirit. It comes kind of later on that progression. Grieve not the Spirit. So this blank area out to the right, we're going to put like a final scripture for each topic. And for this one, Lindsay has it. Lindsay, you got Ephesians 2:22?
Ephesians 2:22.
Is that right? No, it's not the final one. Oh, man, I got one more after that. Okay, Ephesians 2:22. Keep going in our little ray. Go ahead.
And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
He builds the habitation. And then we have our final little thing, which I will do real quick. Final verse. Second Corinthians 5:4 is the very last one. And the very last one is kind of like a final outworking or the end of the story, like where it all ends up. Okay?
It's closing.
Second Corinthians 5:4. Or fully developed, when everything comes to fruition, okay? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So the ultimate work of the indwelling Spirit is that life would swallow up mortality.
Ooh,
okay?
Wow.
So immortality or mortality swallowed up of life or something along that line is our final destination. 2 Corinthians 5:4. Okay. One ray. Any thoughts or comments? Okay. Let's go to the next one. The ray above the indwelling Spirit is going to be Christ in you. Yeah, the next one up. Yeah, that's right. These are all...
As opposed to the mediocre one.
What's that?
As opposed to the mediocre one.
Yeah, as opposed to the boring
one. Let's go to some good verses, guys.
Well, these are going to be more familiar to our particular fellowship. We're going to, because we really emphasize this area. But I like how everything starts with the indwelling of the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? And these things kind of build one on the other. I think that you will see as
we
go.
Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. why they're stacked one on top of each other.
Okay, so here we have this spray is above the indwelling spirit. The indwelling spirit has revealed Christ to the believer. As this occurs, Christ is going to live in you more. The more you see Christ in revelation, the more he lives in you. Okay, so that's where we're starting now. Let's start with someone on Galatians 2:20.
Again?
Yes, again. We're going to do living stuff this time.
I'll do it.
Okay. Galatians 4:19. Colossians 1:27. Jennifer, are you good with Colossians 1:27?
Yes.
And I'll do 2 Peter 1:4. Hang on, let me get to my verse real quick. Okay.
I want to hear some in Spanish. That sounded really good.
I love it.
Go ahead and read your verse, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Sorry.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself.
So the very beginning of our understanding, because it starts right next to the cross, is I am crucified, Christ lives in me. See, the two are bound together forever. You cannot separate those two, so it has to be the very first step.
Okay, what was mine? Because I'm pretty sure not what I think it was.
Okay, we're going to do one more from Galatians 2:20. We have another point to make out of Galatians 2:20. So
this one was Christ in you or you in Christ?
Crucified with Christ.
No, before.
Christ in you. Okay, so we're crucified with Christ, therefore he lives in me. And the second point along the way is also from Galatians 2:20. And it is, I live, yet no longer I. And that's important to understand because it's one thing to say Christ lives in me. It's another thing to say it is not me.
That's right.
It's two different things because there is, without the cross, there's a mingling and somehow I become Christ or I get the credit or I have to measure up. It is Christ in me. I am not living.
That's why it's so crucial to preach the cross because I have been in a lot of churches where it's like, I live in Christ, but it's always, that's always I and not it's the cross that now I live, but it's Christ in me. I mean, emphasis on Christ, not me.
Right.
You know, trying to be Christ, because I can never be Christ.
Yes, as we learn daily. okay, let's see. Galatians 4:19.
Okay.
This is yours.
See, no, I thought it was 4:16, and 4:16 is, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? And I was like, that can't be it.
It's not it. Don't worry.
4:19. Anyway, my dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you.
So Christ is formed in you. Not only is he in you, now he's being formed into something that you can grasp and understand. He's taking on an image. I don't know about you, but when I first heard about Christ in you, it was very hazy. Like, okay, he's in there, but what does that mean?
Right.
It's like, is there a blob in there or... what does that mean? But part of the work of the Spirit, after that's developed, and part of Christ being in you, is he has to be formed in you.
Right.
This was Galatians
4:19.
4:19.
What's
the one that you read?
4:16.
I thought it was 4:16. Don't put that down. We're not doing that one. That's another chart for the day. That's when they're nailed on the cross, you know. For other reasons, okay. That's the sufferings of Christ. Okay.
That's our next topic.
Okay, Colossians 1:27.
It's just Paul's frustration. That's all that is.
To whom God has made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So, the glory of this mystery is Christ in you. And if you can fit it in there, there should be something about the mystery or the mystery being made known. Because that's what's happening now. You're not just saying, Christ is in me. Something is being made known in you.
What was that? I know it was Colossians 4, but what was it?
No, 1. Colossians 1:27.
Oh, 1:27. Because I'm like, there's no 4:27. Put that one down there. So, and again.
Because anyone can say doctrinally, Christ is in you. But when the Spirit starts to reveal the mystery of it, that's a whole different deal. then it's going to really be Christ in you.
I have a funny remembrance of that verse. We were studying that verse, and when I was in Mexico, my school, and this sounds dumb, but I remember reading the word mystery over and over again, because nobody said mystery, everybody said ministry. I remember being so cool, you know. Maybe my Bible is the only one that says
maybe it's still a mystery to me and no one else.
But it's important and it's very significant.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, going and doing ministry.
And isn't the word really mystery means it's something to be revealed?
To be revealed.
Because I people think mystery means a fog. It's a continual fog and you'll never know. No, that's not.
No, it's not what it means.
Even Granny has said it. Mystery means to be revealed.
Yes. Amen.
That's what the Lord used to help me understand that, you know, it was the mystery, but now it's revealed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always remember a picture of myself on that day, that night, where I was doing, where I was sitting, and what I was thinking. And they made a huge difference.
So, sometimes when I read that verse, I'm like, is the mystery revealed? Because it doesn't feel like it.
Well, it wasn't Paul when he preached it.
Well, bully for him.
Well, this is what we're talking about here, a progression. Christ is in you. Christ has to be formed in you. The mystery has to be revealed.
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. 2 Peter 1:4. By which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, partakers of the divine nature. Start to lay hold of it.
Okay, I forgot to put that scripture down.
2 Peter 1:4. Okay, someone grab Colossians 3:10. Okay.
Already in the neighborhood.
2 Corinthians 4:16.
I can do it.
Okay. I'll take Romans 8:29. Joan, why don't you take 2 Corinthians 10:5? Romans 8:29. Let's see, where are we here? We are starting with Colossians 3:10.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
So we begin to be renewed after his image. Second Corinthians 4:16 is very similar.
2 Corinthians 4:16. Mm-hmm. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
We are renewed day by day. Spirit is at work.
It's 4:16.
2 Corinthians 4:16.
Yeah. That's nice too, that it's day by day.
Yeah, it's not like one big once for all experience.
Right. It's supposed to be day by day.
It's ongoing all the time.
No.
It's not nearly as glamorous as our minds make it out to be.
Right.
Like we're looking for a big explosion in our brain and we know everything and all the problems are solved and like nothing touches us.
Right.
That is not Christ being revealed in you and Christ being formed in you. It is a daily walking, a daily decision as we work with the Spirit inside, saying yes to Jesus in the minute. And while the big revelations are nice, they don't do much to change you. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as much as the steps
until
in the
they're
day.
Out.
Yeah, the steps in the day. The steps in the day is what changes you.
Right.
It's no different than a garden. If you're working on a garden, day by day, you've got to weed it, you've got to do water it, do things you need to do with it so that eventually those flowers will grow or get produced in the land.
Right.
But it's like rise up and go to bed, rise up and go to bed.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I like about a garden, though, is that like you can neglect those plants for a long time and just kind of be a jerk to those plants, and for a good long while, if you water them, they'll come back. I mean, eventually they're comes like they're past the point of no return, you know, and that's where the
But there's life in it. That's where
the shadow ends and you know, doesn't quite meet the reality. But I was thinking about that. I was just like, that's nice, Lord. That,
well,
you know, like,
it's the life in them. The life keeps generating.
Yeah. So if you fail to nurture the life the way that you should, as soon as you do, it comes back. Almost inexplicably.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are conformed to the image of the Son. I like how the order is, how this was arranged. We're renewed after his image, we're renewed day by day, and then a conformity starts to happen. Mm-hmm. And just to remind us where we're at, we're talking about an internal life and our life towards God and our relationship with the Lord. This is not necessarily outward, what everybody is seeing. It's not with reference to Christ in you, where people are going, you know, oh, there's so-and-so and they have Christ like this. This is between you and the Lord right now, and that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
But there's a whole aspect of being part of the new creation that has nothing to do with what everybody else sees. It's internal. Nobody sees it but the Father. And it's between you and the Lord, and it's your relationship. And again, this verse up here, 2 Corinthians 5:14, at the top of the cross, is followed by, you know, one died, therefore all died, that we might live unto God. And I know that's an area for me that I have forgotten, because I have problems with, we all have the same problems as flesh. You know, we all have flesh. But, you know, I forget, and I'm sure you forget too, that sometimes it's not always about the outward fruit.
Yes.
Like, God's not always, that's not the final vindication for God necessarily. There's a whole aspect of our relationship with the Lord that is between Him and us.
Mm-hmm. That's really good
and it's
news.
Invisible. And the fact of the matter is, before that fruit comes out, this needs to be solid.
Yes.
It needs to be a regular functioning thing that's happening before outward things are going to even be stable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's heartening.
Right. But that's so good that there's that security inside, like that bedrock. It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing can shake it. There's no earthquake to move it. Outside, these things rattle or you know, and eat our lunch. But there, that's like nothing can touch that.
That's right. Well, and when you talk about the Son, the only way you can have a Son is if you have a Father.
Mm.
So the Son implies a Father. So if you're conformed to the image of the Son, the implication is it's a relationship with the Father. It's not conformed to the image of the Son. Look, everybody, I'm conformed to the image of the Son. Did you see the Son? Because the Son is to the Father. The Son, the Father says, this is my Son.
That's right.
So it's actually a hidden relationship, technically speaking. It's a hidden relationship that no one sees. So no one walks up and goes, oh, that's the Son. Only the Father can say that to the Son.
Right.
Your brother or sister or that person that you want to approve of you can't say that.
That's right.
Right.
But what does the carnal mind want?
Yeah.
Validation from the flesh. You know, someone to go, oh, good job, Mallory. Yeah, that was the Lord. Well, it may be the Lord, but it wasn't the Son.
Well,
the Son's to the Father.
The Lord made that real this year in my life. I never understood it until you know in just 6 months. But the Lord showed me that, you know, reading through John, Transfiguration, where it's like, again, he's approving of him and saying, this is my Son. This is my Son. You know, first it was a baptism in the Jordan, you know, he's saying that. But then again, on the mount, it's like, you're like, dude, man, that's his Son. I mean,
nobody in Israel could say that.
Right.
And none of the disciples could say it.
Like,
and apparently neither could Moses or Elijah.
And neither could Moses or Elijah.
Thank you. Because the only one that has a relationship is the Father and the Son.
Sure. You know, well, it's landing on this for me because, you know, this is a year also, apart from this, having something for Lindsay to do while people are away. This is the year where God is trying to minister some things to us and help us plug up some weak spots, you know. And I was reminded of that in this, that, you know, there is a lot of ways where the Lord takes pleasure and has gotten something out of the cross in our relationship with us that have nothing to do with what other people recognize or see or how we're validated in the earth.
Mm.
And I forget that.
Yeah.
I don't know about any of you, but that's an area for me. And I'm having to... This is an area where he's going over, like, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what value people set on you. What matters is this kind of relationship right here. But it's not going to get stable in me unless I punch through it with the Word of God. See, and I need the influx of the Word of God, because I will go towards outward appearance, you know. And but it's heartening to know that God finds so much pleasure and is working very hard on areas in us that no one else will see or recognize or validate.
Mm-hmm.
But to him, he doesn't care about that.
And what's cool is that he can bring us to a place where this is good enough for us.
Yes, that's right.
We're not pulled by that stuff, that man-pleasing thing and the need for validation, you know. Anyway, that's just a thought I had.
It's 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yeah, did you have a thought? Okay. Patty, were you going to say something?
Yeah,
okay.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yes.
Casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and
bringing
to every man who is being Christ.
I was looking for this verse earlier.
That is my favorite
Thank
verse.
You, Lord.
God. Ben preached on that one time.
So, because this verse is falling in the Christ in you category, it can read a little differently. Bringing every thought in us to the captivity of Christ in you. Mm-hmm. Not just Christ in heaven. Mm-hmm. Oh, God doesn't want me to say that. Sorry, God. Christ is in you.
Right.
And you allow thoughts to be brought into bondage to the reality that Christ is in you. Now, that's not in the Greek or anything, but we're looking at it in the Christ in you aspect.
Exactly.
So that's what we're, you know.
And Christ is in you. It's not like it's a stretch.
Christ is all in
you. No. I mean, that is the new covenant relationship. Well, you're bringing every thought captive to Christ. Well, where is Christ? Where is he? So that, to me, put a whole new thing on it for me.
Is in you. Right. And that you're in Christ.
Right.
That established reality, whether you see it or not, you know, would go by the outward things instead of standing and holding on. And then next thing you know, we're spiraling out of control.
Right.
Internally.
I've been experiencing that. Like, I'm just like, all right, well, I guess this Christ in me thing really isn't a feeling. Or at least it better not be, because I don't feel it. So I'm just like, I'm taking your word for it, Lord. This is the best I can do. Taking your word for it. And it feels like a really lousy, half-hearted faith stance, but the Lord has a way of redeeming really lousy, half-hearted faith stances, so I'm trusting for that.
Because the Spirit knows our weaknesses and is interceding for us.
Ayo! Just
See?
Brought it back around.
Did you find anything interesting, Patty?
No, but it made me confused and Spanish, so I need to read in English again.
Oh, sure, I'll read English again. Yeah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then you said, Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is in Cristo in there somewhere?
No. Okay. The first word bringing here is in Spanish derribando, which means it's not breaking down. It's, I don't know the word for it. Derribando.
Did you say
derribando?
Derribando.
Well, it'll be interesting to look up. I didn't bring my Greek New Testament tonight, but it has been fun to look that up and see.
Oh, I should have brought my parallel Bible.
Oh, that's okay.
It sounds like it has a more forceful. Taking prisoner. Placing under bondage.
That's the same word to say taking captive. Mm-hmm. Right. Just taking captive or taking possession.
Bringing things captive.
Bringing thoughts captive to Christ in you. Okay, we've got another round of scriptures to go on Christ in you. Here we go. Someone take Philippians 1:21.
I like that one.
Okay. 1 John 3:24.
I get it.
Philippians 3:10. You have
Christian. Yep.
Okay. And why don't you take the next one, which is Philippians 3:14, because they're right next to each other.
Okie dokie.
And I will get the final one, which is 2 Thessalonians 1. Okie doke. We are starting with Philippians 1:21.
For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Okay. So, we're progressing along our line, and we are, you know, we're moving along. So the longer that we live, the more Christ lives. See, to me, to live is Christ. Okay.
And then it's 1 John 3:21?
3:24.
Oh, 3:24. That would make sense. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
So, the last part of the verse says, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us. So, this, we are continuing to be aware of his remaining in us by the Spirit of God. Okay? So, we know by the Spirit is what I put. But, you know, he abides in us. Can be the, you know, be your main keywords. And it's not just that he's in us. It doesn't say he's present in you. It says he abides in you, and that is different than just being in you.
Mm-hmm.
Christ
yeah.
is in you is like a passive state of being. He's just there, like a bump on a log. But if he's abiding, that means he's living. He is living in you, and the Spirit is making known that fact to you, that he's actually living in there and doing stuff. He's on the move.
The one before, which was Philippians 1:21, did just say Christ in me.
To me to live is Christ.
Okay,
Philippians 3:10.
Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
We are going to put becoming conformed to his death. Because if you are letting Christ live in you, you're going to start pouring out your life. No, she's got one more inside the ray, and then I will have the final concluding, so there's two more verses.
Make it work.
And I was like,
all right. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
So one of the big things that happens when Christ in you really becomes a major factor for you is that you're constantly pressing upward.
Hmm.
It's a huge effort of Christ in you.
Further up and further in?
Further up and further in.
Oh, yeah.
So you're pressing upward, pressing toward the upward calling of God, something like that.
I'm riding further up and further in. I have to do it.
And then this is all working towards a final thing. And the final thing is found in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, which I will read. Second Thessalonians 1:10 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, as Christ is living in you, he comes and is glorified in his saints, and he is admired in those who believe. I love that. It's like people are struck with wonder at Christ who's living in his people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christ, you could say the final outworking is Christ in all. In all. Okay. All right, the next one above that, in the third little ray, is the heavenly advocate.
Mm-hmm.
This blew me away. Personally, this is where God talked to me today. I'm really excited about this section.
Can you spell for me out for us?
Yes. A. Oh, you're going to love this. A. D.
D.
Add. V. Add B O C A T E.
C E.
C A.
Oh,
T E.
Like advocate. How you would pronounce
like
it.
Avocado. This is what I thought.
The heavenly avocado.
All right.
Different.
Like, I like avocados a lot.
You too. Yeah, well, let's all think about avocados for a minute. Yeah,
quite so.
Yes, they are. I always have one in my fridge. Unless they're just horrible at the store, I won't get one. But generally, they're always in my fridge. Yeah. Or they're totally too squishy soft.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well,
like where you can feel
like you're not. Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome to our life, at Chipotle. Oh my gosh, people are attached to their guacamole. Their guacamole doesn't look the way they want it to. Anyway.
Okay, let's get started.
Now have a good day.
the world.
Okay, the heavenly advocate. Someone take Romans 8:34.
Got it.
Okay, Hebrews 9:12.
I like Hebrews.
Okay, I'll take Hebrews 9:24. And Jennifer, would you take 1 John 2:1?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so we're going to start with Romans 8:34. That's okay. We are not. You can write them all down. I haven't even looked up mine yet.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Okay, so the very first thing that starts this out is that he makes intercession for us. The one who dies, who were right by the cross, the one who died and was raised is the one who prays for us. Okay? So
that's a drop the microphone moment. Like at the end of a good freestyle rap when the rapper just goes and walks away like, what are you going to
do
now?
Yeah, right.
I hear those sometimes in scripture. Sometimes in scripture where God's just like,
yep, yep.
And
what are you going to do?
He's the one that died. He's the one that completed the finished the work, and that he's the one that intercedes for us because he's the only one that understands.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy man.
But he's at rest, so it's okay.
That's right.
He's a busy man. Okay, let's see. Hebrews 9:12. Was that Jennifer's?
No, that was mine.
Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead with Hebrews 9:12.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
9:12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption.
Now, as an advocate is someone who's on your side, right? Okay, so he's on your side, and this is how he is on your side. We're on Hebrews 9:12. He entered in with his own blood, or through his own blood.
Nobody else could do that.
And I wrote in my little notes, God is for us. Okay, I took Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So he's entered in by his own blood, and he's entered into the presence of God. But that word presence is actually face.
Ah. Wow.
Okay? So it actually says, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the face of God for us.
Wow.
In the face of God for our behalf. So he appears in God's sight. So he is on our behalf in a face-to-face relationship with God. The blood of Jesus allow him access in such a way that there is an unhindered relationship. And face-to-face relating means there's no shame.
Yes.
Because that's when you don't make eye contact.
Yes.
You know, there's no shame.
That's right.
Or there's no embarrassment. There's no, like a servant master where the
right.
servants make
subservient,
eye contact.
Subservient, yeah.
Exactly. This is the advocate
wow.
rise in the face-to-face relating with the Father. Mm-hmm. That's what this verse means. So I guess...
Hebrews 9:24.
Hebrews 9:24 appears before God's face for us. This is important because if the sin issue is not really dealt with in us and we are dealing with condemnation and shame, we can never see Christ face to face because our faces aren't turned towards Him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you see that? We're always looking down. We're
that's
going,
right.
I'm bad, and I don't want to look at the Lord, and I'm ashamed. It's not intentional. It's just that's the relationship.
Right.
A sin-based relationship is you are not allowed to look at the Lord.
Right.
But if Christ is going to be revealed,
yes,
there cannot be a shame, embarrassment, or subservient issue there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to see face-to-face because you have to understand that Jesus is looking at the face of God
yes.
for us, and
yes.
we enter into that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like preliminary to that, to understanding mm-hmm. His advocacy on our behalf. It's to let these condemnation issues slide and just stay. Mm-hmm. Just gums up the whole works.
Yeah, yeah.
It just holds everything back in the Lord. They've got to be the sin conscious. And, you know, Hebrews talks about this a lot in chapter 10.
Yes, it does.
There's no more consciousness of sins.
You're right.
The blood of bulls and goats reminded us that we were
still sinning.
That's right. But the fact that there was only one offering shows that we are to have no more consciousness of sin that has been removed from God's thought, mm-hmm. and it should be removed from ours so we can live on a life side of the cross.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But see, we won't ever get in there if we don't understand that Jesus, by his own blood, entered into the heavenlies and appeared in the face of God for us. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with, I have to see Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone else sees Christ and I don't, so something's wrong with me. No, this is where it starts. Oh my gosh, look what Jesus did for me.
Yes.
I can enter boldly because I have an advocate.
Right.
He's already there on my behalf.
Mm-hmm. That's why
Does that
I can look.
Sense?
Yeah, that's why I can come in. We'll come boldly to the throne of Christ.
Yes.
That's the reason why.
Yes.
Because of what Jesus did. He's looking at the face of the Father.
Amen.
Wow, that's powerful.
Okay. All right. Next one is 1 John 2:1. I think that's Jennifer's. Everything okay at home?
Yeah,
they're
trying to.
Oh, it wouldn't be kids if they didn't do that.
They're trying to play video games.
No, they want to watch a show. The little boys are in bed.
Uh-huh.
They've taken their baths and they've gotten to bed.
Uh-huh.
And the big boys want to watch a show or something. Uh-huh. They get 30 extra minutes awake. So, anyway. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Well, look
Jesus
at that.
Christ the righteous.
Amen. Look at that. Even in all of this, if we sin, we have an advocate.
1 John 2:1.
It's not all over if we sin.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, we have an advocate when we sin.
That's right.
We have somebody on our side who pleads our case. Okay, next round of scriptures. We may just close out after this third go round because it's getting late already. I told you there was lots of verses in this one. Hebrews 12:24. Somebody? Okay. Hebrews 7:25.
I'll do it.
Hebrews 4:15
or 2:18. Okay, you take 4:15. I'll take 2:18. These are all Hebrews verses. Okay. The first one is Hebrews 12:24.
To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Okay. Jesus mediates by his blood. Whenever there's a problem, there's a breach between God and me, and usually that's on my side.
Yes.
Jesus mediates by pointing to the blood and said, and so usually, actually, God's all okay even if I sin because there's an advocate. I'm the one that's freaked out.
Right.
And Jesus has to go, Mallory, come back into union relating, look at the blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he mediates.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So he mediates by the blood. His blood proves he's always for us. Okay, let's see. Hebrews 7:25.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
So he saves utterly or completely. 7:25, I think.
25, yeah. 25,
yes. He saves completely. How many of us are confident in an utter salvation?
Yeah, that's right.
And yet, that's what's on his mind.
Okay?
We got to think bigger.
Yep.
We got to increase our horizon.
That's right.
Okay.
See, Austin did a one on that, one paper on his Austin book. Expanding horizons.
Okay, Hebrews 4:15.
We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
So he is touched by our infirmities, or an easier way to say that would be he feels our weaknesses.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. He doesn't condemn us because we're weak. He feels it.
I thought about that in relationship to him being the head and us being the body. When you stop
stub your toe, your toe hurts. But your head, your brain, and your mind, this is what registers which body part that is and where it is and what happened to it that caused the pain and what needs to be done to protect that. All that happens in the brain center, you know, and then it's communicated through the nerves back to, but, you know, and the body, of course, then, is what it communicates it to the head. But the head is, the head feels it. The head
That's
is
right.
aware. The head knows what happened better than what the
That's
toe
right.
knows. The toe, you know, is just feeling pain and doesn't know that the wall wasn't there before.
Right, right.
But, so, I mean, just in understanding, like, if I'm a member of his body that's been injured or that is feeling pain over whatever it is, he knows. He knows because it's a member. It's your
job. Yeah, because in that infinite shut up and back.
Right, right.
That's right. It's that communication is there. He completely understands. He may have even seen it. He's
right, done. Right.
Yeah.
Just putting it in, like,
a union perspective. Yeah.
It's like I know it's probably not a very good, but it's like he experienced it before you even could experience it. You know, it's a weird thing, you know. You're like,
because your nerves couldn't feel it, the head didn't know at first. I mean, really, in a sense.
Yeah.
And also the double dog.
Yeah.
Cherry on top is the fact that he actually experienced it.
Yeah. Right.
Like.
It's true.
Like actually experienced the weakness in the infirmity. I wonder if you ever had a head cold or a sore throat. You know, I wonder if, like. There was ever a time where all people wanted him to teach and heal people, and he was just feeling sick, like he had stomach bug.
Yeah.
He had, like, I don't know about you, but there are times when things are going on in the Lord, like around here, but I may feel badly, and so I don't want to come because my body's going. And, you know, there are times to make a decision. Sometimes you just need to stay home because you don't want to make someone sick. But there are times when you can go, body, I don't care how you feel. I don't care that you're weak. You know, Jesus wants to go.
That's right.
You just have to go.
Right.
Jesus wants
right.
to go.
Exactly.
And,
but he even said that.
He had experienced that.
Yeah.
It must have been a deeply ironic situation for him to be in, too. I'm sure, like, people were coming, like, knocking on the door wanting to heal, but he's like, this is so ironic. I could heal myself.
Well, he says it in one of his Gospels. That you may say, physician, heal thyself. So, you know, you're wondering, what is he referring to? And then another time I'm thinking about when it says, and Jesus said, come with me to an alleyway place and let's rest a while. And all of a sudden, all these people just crowd around him. Like, he's trying to get away, you know, because his cousin just died. Maybe to mourn or whatever, to, you know, just be meditative. And here's all these people. I'm thinking, yeah, if that was them, like, can't you see? I'm not feeling up to it right now. I'm in the mood. You know, just block them, knock them down. I don't know, but just get them out of my face, you know. But he wasn't. He's like, okay. And they said, Jesus said, you know, they're coming for me. He said, okay. And he was like, he was right on the moment. And he went out there. And you're like, my gosh, how did he do it? Because it was the life of in him that was able to do it. It does, when I feel like I'm just not up to it, I'm like, what did Jesus do? Oh, yeah. Okay. He carried the cross.
But he felt, the point is that he felt.
Yes, he did.
Like he's very aware of our weaknesses.
Right.
Very aware. You know, but when you have this religious idea that he's like a superior being to us and he's up there
right.
and we're down here,
right.
it takes his humanity out and it takes the compassion away. So it takes away our tendency to want to lean on him.
Yeah, and you know what?
We have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps.
This year, the Lord showed me, you know, that even Jesus needs someone to help him with his cross.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Then we don't realize that. Yeah. That he was a human being and he needed.
Well, it was harder for him too because he was God and had the right to take that back up.
Yeah, that's
Every
true.
Moment.
That's true.
He didn't have to come die for us. He didn't have to redeem us. He was good to go. Like he had made the shade with the Father. But so I feel like every single time he experienced our weakness, there was an added measure of deciding to do it.
That's true. That's
a
very good point.
There was an added measure of deciding. To keep with his humanity. And not take back up.
That's very good.
His divinity.
Yeah.
Like the only time you ever hear him referred to as the Son of God is when he's like healing people when he's casting out demons, like when he is exercising the authority that he has as the Son of God. But he is the Son of Man. It's the Son of Man. It's the Son of Man experiencing.
And it's a very conscious decision because he could have just slipped into divinity very easily. Like, ooh, wow, wait a minute.
Right? Like he had to be actively crazy.
Yes.
Like, what if he accidentally healed himself from the flu?
Okay, push that. Let's move on now. We're, Son of Man is a huge area, which is really good, by the way. The Lord shows us these lots of good stuff about that. If you take off, we're almost there. We're going to run to these last and we're going to quit. So.
No, go ahead.
That's okay, fine. That's fine. Thank glad you came.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you, we try and meet again if we want to. If there's interest, we'll meet again.
Yeah,
I'll let you know. Okay. All right, moving down the road here. 2:18, Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Ooh, so not only did he suffer as a man, he was also tempted. So he's able to help us when we are tempted. Not sit up there and with his arms crossed and say, you better not blow it. But actually helps us when we're tempted.
Right.
Okay, let's go through these last ones here. Someone take Revelation 1, verses 14 and 17.
I'll do it. Okay. Oh, did you want to do
it? No, go for it.
Hebrews 10, 22.
Got it.
1 John 3, 21. Okay. I'll take 1 John 5, 14. And after that, there's one more. So just have five more verses and then we're done. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Sorry,
John.
Yeah. I was trying to write all again the scriptures down, so I wouldn't have to go back. So, Revelation 1, 14 through 17?
No, just 14 and 17.
Oh, 14 and 17. Gotcha. Good. Then I wrote it down right. Good. 14 says, Revelation 1, 14 says, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 1, 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Okay.
Jesus' gray hair is what I got out of that.
Well, what the author was trying to bring out was that his eyes are a flame of fire and that he searches us. So he knows every part of us, which may not be a good thing, but he says, fear not.
Yes.
So
yes.
Even though he searches us out and exposes things, he says, fear not. Mm-hmm. And that's the advocate working. Mm-hmm. Okay, Hebrews 10, 22.
10, 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water.
See, as we begin to relate to Jesus as our advocate, we naturally draw near because these issues that were keeping us apart mm-hmm. from our side begin to be dealt with and they dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to draw near, but not just draw near, but draw near in full assurance of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have experienced thinking that I had drawn near, and I had with the life that I had, but then he deals with an area of guilt or condemnation I really didn't know was there,
mm-hmm.
and the natural result is I'm even closer to Jesus now. I didn't know that.
Right.
See, I continue to draw near as he gets these things out of the way. What are you looking for?
What do you
want? Draw near in full assurance of faith. 1 John 3:21.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God.
We have boldness or confidence towards God.
3:21.
Because all that condemnation stuff is being wiped away. And faith and confidence replace it. Okay, mine is 1 John 5:14. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we ask and he hears.
Does that mean he just doesn't hear things that we ask not according to his will? Like it's like the
well, the word hear in the Greek also implies action and obedience.
Oh.
Not just hearing the words. It's bound up. It's like the word means all of it. So if you hear, that means you're actually going to live out what you just
right.
what just came into your ear.
Huh.
Yeah. That's so he hears.
Pretty
us.
Cool.
He's not just saying, "I hear you." La 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 la. Not listening. Oh, you know the advocate now. Okay, I
listening. That's not what that means. Because right. There's an action bound up with the hearing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Final wrapping up. The final fruition. All this comes to a final head, and that is Colossians 3:4. And I'll just read that real quick, and then we'll wrap it up.
What did you write? First John 5:14.
We ask, He hears. Colossians 3:4. The final outworking is simply Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then you shall also be manifested with Him in glory. Okay? Because we are not just with Him in theology. He's been with us all along, but because we have learned Christ as our advocate and have begun relating to the One who is for us, that makes us with Him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a witness going both directions, and there's a fullness of Christ that results.
So as it says here, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him. Because you have taken on, you have received that advocacy. But the another translation says, when Christ is manifested, you manifest with Him.
Wow.
So.
Okay, well, I was hoping to get through one more tonight, but it's late. So we aren't going to. Let's close this record. Lord, thank you for our time together, and I pray that you will bless these verses and that they will continue to bring up fruit, these little seeds, for years to come, and to bring clarity in our relationship with you and the life side of the cross. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.